We're going to turn now to the passage we've been looking at over the last couple of weeks in the book of Revelation, chapter 1. And reading there verses 4 to 7 again. So Revelation chapter 1 and verses 4 to 7. John introduces his letter, John, to the seven churches in the province of Asia. Grace and peace to you from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father, to him be glory and power for ever and ever. Amen. Okay. So we've been thinking about the love of Jesus to him who loves us, and that's Jesus, who has freed us from our sins by his blood. We've been thinking about this love of Jesus. I want to think today a little bit more about knowing that love personally. It's not an abstract thing, obviously. Love is not meant to be abstract, and in your family, when you speak about love in the family, it's not just words. It's not just like words in a Bible or words on someone's lips. It is shown in actions. It is shown in the way that people are present to one another, not absent. And it's shown in the bad times and in the good times. And so Jesus' love that is spoken of here isn't simply something for John to write about in the way that a philosopher might write about an idea. Jesus' love is real, and it's meant to be something that we, you and I, know personally. It's Jesus' love. Now remember that Jesus isn't like you and he isn't like me. He's different to the angels. He's different to even the Father in heaven. His love is a unique kind of love. And we thought about how he loved us with the fullness of human love when he was walking in this world. And we thought about how he loves us with the fullness of divine love from his throne in glory by the power of the Holy Spirit. But Jesus is unique. I mean, let's just read these verses again, verses 4 to 6. Just noticing how Jesus is spoken about here, so that we realize who the lover is. So it's, John says, grace and peace to you from him who is and who was and who is to come. Now there, John is speaking about the Father, and from the seven spirits before his throne. And there, John is speaking about the Holy Spirit. It's a symbolic picture, seven being the perfect number. And then from Jesus Christ. So when we think about Jesus, and the apostles thought about Jesus, we tend to think about the man, Jesus Christ. So that's fine. He is the man. He was the faithful witness when he walked this world, the faithful witness to God, the firstborn from the dead. He's risen from the dead, Jesus. First of all, those to be risen to the new creation life. And he's the ruler of the kings of the earth. Well, now we're getting beyond the humanity of Jesus. Because how can Jesus, the man, rule the kings of the earth? So we're beginning to see the fuller picture of who he is. He can rule the kings of the earth. He's on a throne in his majesty at the right hand of the Father, ruling the earth, ruling the rulers. And then it says, he loves us. And again, well, obviously you're not thinking just about a man there, because if you were, then a man can't love us. He can only love whatever he is. He can only love in a sort of theoretical way. Sort of say, well, he loves us, but he's never here. No, when you're speaking about Jesus and his love, you're speaking about the love of Jesus present with us by his Holy Spirit. And then he's freed us from our sins by his blood. But then you're thinking about Jesus as the man whose blood was spilled by the flogging and the crucifixion, that he received at the hands of the Romans and at the hands of the Jews as well. And then it says, he's made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father. So there again, you're thinking, when it says to serve, well, he's made us to be a kingdom and priests. How can he do that if he's just a man? And we'll think about that next week. We'll think about what that means to be a kingdom and priest in his love. To serve his God. But wait a minute, Jesus is God. To serve his God. And then again you realise now, John's thinking about Jesus as the man he knew in Galilee. And Jesus could speak about my God, but then be God himself, his God and Father. And then it's to him be glory and power forever and ever. To him who loves us, to Jesus, be glory and power forever and ever. Well, again, you're not thinking of him as a man. Now you're thinking of him as God. Because only God is to be given glory and power forever and ever. So you see what a complex lover Jesus is. He is someone who's been on earth. He's shed his blood. He's someone who's on the throne. He's ruling. He's a man in all of these things. He's risen from the dead. But he's also God. And his love is everywhere. His rule is everywhere. To him be glory and power forever and ever. So we have to understand that as we begin thinking about Jesus personally and his love personally, that this is a different kind of person to you or me loving us. Now I want to think about Jesus' love in three ways. And first of all, it's a real love. It's a real love. Real love. Now, I'm going to try and tread carefully here. Because we have this thing in society we call love. And so we have a program which I have never seen, so don't expect authoritative comment on this program, called Love Island. Okay? Love Island. All I want to know this morning is that love on Love Island? So are these average people that are spoken of, or chosen rather, to participate in Love Island? No, they're not. Why are they chosen? Am I on safe ground saying they're chosen for their looks and their personalities? I think so. So what is the aim of the choice of these people to be presented from every possible angle by camera? It's to provoke desire. Is that right? It's to provoke desire. Now, I cannot watch programs like that. And I can't watch them because I'm a man who wants to follow Jesus Christ. Now, I know it's possible to watch programs like that innocently because God sees these programs and he doesn't sin when he does. But I'm very liable to sin. I need to be honest, and for the men here, and probably for the women too, because there are men on the program as well, chosen for their looks, we need to look at ourselves and say, is this safe? Because you wouldn't have that problem if it was love. But it's not Love Island, is it? Now, it's possible in a program like that, and again, I'm telling you, I haven't watched it. I mean, you can't help seeing stuff about it because it comes up all the time on other programs, television, news. But I'm sure it's possible in programs like that, that what we're calling love, that what John's speaking of as love, can happen. Sacrificial love. The love of giving without looking for anything in return. Giving of yourself and your resources to another person. But that's not what the environment in Love Island is intended to create. Not that kind of love. There are, I understand, tears and tantrums Why is that? Because people are being used. People are being cheated on. People are being judged by their looks. People are having their insecurities exploited, and ours as well, as we watch. People are being warped. People are being enslaved. People are becoming cynical. And it's something that ought to grieve us, because it's a parody of what love really is. It's a deception. The contestants, once they've run their shows, they're like commodities. They're expendable. Pleasure commodities. And we can move on to the next one. People being treated as objects. The masses who watch being treated in an exploitative way as well. So when we speak about love, we're not thinking about that kind of thing at all. The love of Christ that we're speaking of here, for you and me to know, isn't going to exploit you. It's not going to judge you by your looks, by any kind of achievements or performance or the charisma of your character. It's not going to look at you from the outside and make you feel like you're somehow not good enough, or maybe that you are good enough just because of the way you look. It's not going to make you feel insecure. It's not going to cheat you and let you down. It's not going to make you feel like you've been exploited and just cast off at the end. The love of Jesus gives us security. The love of Jesus doesn't judge us by how we look or how we perform. The love of Jesus loves us whatever we're like. Whatever qualities or lack of qualities we have, whatever character or bad character we have. The love of Jesus will never exploit us, it will never cheat us. It doesn't make us feel dirty. The love of Jesus cleanses us. It frees us, as verse 5 says, from our sins by his blood. It's sacrificial love. It's love that makes us think, does he really do that for me? Would he really go to those lengths for someone like me? It may be that the contestants on Love Island, the boys and the girls, may meet this love of Jesus. And it will be a revelation to them, as it is to all of us, because it will be something they haven't met on the show. It will be something they haven't met in the way they've been treated, because it's a love that will cleanse them. It's a love that will dignify them. It's a love that will build them up. It's a love that will bring them to a rich and full and great potential. It's a love that will secure them. The love of Jesus is real love. And we need to understand the difference. Please do. Because what we're calling love in our society is really another word of four letters beginning with L. What we're calling love in our society is not the kind of love that John is recognizing in his Savior and his Lord, and that we need to recognize today. And that we need today. Because if we don't have the sacrificial love of Jesus, and if we're left simply to the way that people love one another, often in very exploitative or cheating or disappointing ways, and we all fail one another, if we don't have this love, then we're going to be very disappointed people. Jesus' love, as we saw, it's everywhere. It's unlimited quality without limit of quantity. It's wise beyond all measure. And it's able to do everything and anything that I or the church or the community or the world needed to do perfectly and completely. Jesus' love. sacrificial love for your benefit. Love that makes us clean, ennobles, and uplifts. But the second thing is, it's love that reconciles. Reconciling love. So Jesus' love is here. It's here by his Spirit. We thought about that two weeks ago. Jesus' love is here with you by his Spirit now. But to know it personally, we have to be reconciled to it. So it's not automatic. It's something we need to be reconciled to. In other words, we're alienated from it until we are reconciled to it. And we ask ourselves today, do we want to be reconciled to the love of Jesus, to Jesus himself? And the answer has to be yes, because if it's not, then we're casting ourselves off from the only safe haven and harbour that there is, the love of Christ. But to be reconciled to the love of Christ, we need to begin with seeing ourselves and saying, well, you know, by nature, I might think I'm good enough. I might think I deserve God, or I deserve his love, or I should just assume that he would love me. But it's when we come to realize that this is a love that's completely above us and completely beyond us, a love that we're just not in at all worthy of or deserving of. And this is a love that shows itself to us by his blood, as verse 5 says. By his blood. It shows itself to us in the cross. And again, we thought about that. Well, 3 weeks ago that was. God's love provides for us a crucified Jesus, a crucified Savior. Jesus himself provides himself for us in his love, a crucified Savior, to be punished for our lust, for our lack of love, for our sin, to be punished in our place and on our behalf. And we must know that's what we need in order to be reconciled to it. We read in John 3:16. Yeah, John 3:16 tells us that God loves the world, but that doesn't mean the world's okay. Because God loves the world and he sent his only son. Well, he sent his only son because the world needs his only son. But that doesn't mean the world's okay either. Even though his son has done everything to bring the world to God's love, the world needs to do something. Every single person does. That whoever believes in him, it says, we've got to actually trust Jesus. It's a trusting belief. It's not just I know that Jesus did that. It's like, I trust that Jesus did that for me. Whoever believes in Jesus will not perish. So that's what's happening if we don't get reconciled to Jesus' love. We perish without God. But if we receive Jesus' love and the sacrifice he's made for us and for our sins, then we have eternal life, as John 3:16 says. So, God wants to reconcile you and me to the divine love that sent Jesus to the cross, and to the human love of Jesus that went to the cross. It's calling you today. And it's calling you because God knows, even if you don't know yourself, God knows you need the provision of his love. A Savior, Jesus, crucified for your sins. And you need to respond to that. You need to do that. And God is asking you, you know, do you respond? Do you believe? Do you receive my son Jesus, who in his love went to that cross, whom I sent in my love to that cross for you? That is what God is calling you to respond to today. And it's not something you must deflect from, because God is calling you to see that you are loved, to know that you can perish even though you are loved, if you do not receive that love for yourself through Jesus. So God is calling us to take his love. It's a reconciling love. It's a love that brings you and him together. And finally, it's a transforming love. It's a love that transforms us. So, as we learn about God's love, and we grow in an understanding of how marvelous it is, we want to love in return. That's good. But what happens then is we meet our hard hearts. We meet the hardness of our own hearts. Because remember, we thought that love was Love Island, that love was a feeling, something measured by just what we felt like doing for others. And then we come to the blood, then we see the blood of Jesus, and we know that Jesus did not feel like dying on a cross. It was everything he didn't want to do, and he showed that in Gethsemane, and he pled that he wouldn't have to do it, but he was willing to do it nevertheless, and he went and he died for our sins. It was a most horrible and terrible thing for him. He didn't feel like doing it, but that sacrificial love. And when we see that kind of love, a quality and a quantity of love that we just don't have in ourselves, we can realize, I'm not as loving as I thought I was. I'm not as good a person as I thought I was. Where can I get love like that? Where can I get love like that? Where can love like that come out of me? How can that happen? How can I be different? And that's where we read, why we read Galatians 5. Because Galatians 5 tells us that we can love with the love of God in us. The work of the flesh, said Paul, is, and the first thing was Love Island, sexual immorality. That was the first thing. That is what comes out of us, natural. And there was a whole list of other things there in Galatians 5. That's what we've got in us. We want to love like Jesus when we know that he loves us in the way he does, but we just can't do it because our flesh gets in the way. What comes naturally to us is not the sacrificial love of God, but he gives us his Spirit. He gives us his Holy Spirit. From the time when we first turn to him, from the very time when we first believe, the Holy Spirit begins to work in our hearts. And we recognize the Holy Spirit is Jesus in us. Jesus working in us. And because it's Jesus, we've got to treat him as Jesus. And not treat him in a slipshod or careless or indifferent manner. It's Jesus within us. And so we have to watch with Jesus in us how we live. What we watch on our televisions. You know, what we turn to. What we think about. And what we say and what we do, we have to be so careful because Jesus is in us by his Holy Spirit. And what, having Jesus in us is an awesome thing because he's holy, he's glorious, he's pure, he's sacrificial in his love for us. He's God. But having Jesus in us is also a possibility and a potential for you to have love in you that you wouldn't normally have and wouldn't naturally have and can't otherwise have, the love of the Spirit. And so Paul goes on to say, but the fruit of the Spirit is, and the first word is, it's love. The fruit of the Spirit is love. And there's a whole lot of other beautiful things like joy and peace and patience and so on. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. So as you respond to the love of Jesus and are reconciled to Jesus, he gives you his Spirit. He comes and lives in you by his Spirit. That's an awesome thing. We have to be respectful of that and not grieve him. But it also gives us the potential to love with the love of Christ. And that love can take our humanity, to heights that we can't imagine. I'm going to speak about that finally next week, hopefully. It can take our humanity to heights that we cannot possibly imagine. Just like the love of the Spirit in Jesus the man took his humanity to heights of love the world had never seen when he gave himself, not just on the cross, but for 33 years beforehand, for us. So, we're living with the love of God present. We have to respond to it and receive it. And when we do, he comes into us so that we can love with his love. And be different. And be like Jesus. But we have to respect the presence of Jesus in us and seek to grow in that relationship with him that we have. And he will fill us with his love. It doesn't happen just suddenly. It's something you need to really grow into, just like any relationship. But I just want to close by just thinking for a minute about, like I say, we'll go on to think about the destiny of Jesus loving us next week. But just to think about receiving and giving. Because do you find receiving difficult? Do you find it difficult to be loved? Would you much rather be the person who does the loving, who does the giving? Yeah. And I think many of us are like that. We find it difficult to be helped, put it that way. We'd much rather be the person that's giving the help. We like to be independent, but we'd like to help other people, even though maybe they'd like to be independent as well. But actually, none of us should be independent. We're all very dependent. And that's why we need Jesus' sacrificial love in our lives. But that's just the beginning. We've got to receive that love day by day to help us love. Because we're not aiming any longer to live in the flesh. We're aiming to live in the Spirit. We're not just aiming to live with the resources of what our bodies have and with what our bodies feel like doing. Now we're aiming to live to be like Jesus and to be Jesus in the world. Jesus' tongues, Jesus' hands, Jesus' feet, and so on. We're aiming to be a blessing to others, to love one another in the church, to love our neighbor as ourselves, to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, to love people in need around us. God's calling us to something that is absolutely and totally above what we ourselves can naturally produce from ourselves. You have the next slide, please, Mary. Here's the love that God is calling us to. We just finish with this. 1 Corinthians 13. And if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. I'm sure anyone that does weddings is often asked to read that passage. I wonder how often we think at a wedding or at other times when we read it, I can't love like that. It's asking more of me than I can give. But that's our aim. And how can we give this love unless we keep receiving from Jesus? And I think often what happens with Christians and why they stop growing as Christians is because this independence thing, it creeps in or reasserts itself. This thing where, you know, I want to be the one that gives the help. I don't want to be one that receives the help. And so we stop seeking Jesus to fill us with his Spirit to help us to love like this. And we just start trying to love out of our own resources, out of our own strength. We can't do it. Because to help, we need to be helped. To love, we need to be filled with his love. And so we need to keep on depending, minute by minute and day by day, on Jesus to fill us with his Spirit, to help us to show his love. Because this world needs the body of Christ to love it. We're going to see that even more as this whole projected cost of living crisis comes in. And people are going to get more and more desperate and more needy. And Christians will be too. But we still need to love and keep receiving from Jesus the power of his Spirit to keep loving. And so we need to walk really close with Jesus. We need to be very careful about all the things that we do so that we don't grieve his Holy Spirit by calling something love that isn't. We need to love with the love of Jesus. And that is only something that we can receive. We can't produce it ourselves. We need to receive it. In order to be filled with it, we need to receive it from Jesus. And all the people out in the world who need the love of Christ in their lives, they need that love from us. They don't need you in you, they need Jesus in you. That's what they need. That's what they need to meet. So I just close with that. 1 Corinthians 13. What a love. What a beautiful love. But you can't do it. You need Jesus' help. You need Jesus to help you to love so that you can grow in this love and give that love to the world in its need so that it can meet Jesus in you, the love of Jesus in you, and be drawn hopefully to be reconciled also to God and not to perish but to have everlasting life. Let's pray for a moment together. Lord, these things are so important, and my words so inadequate, and we feel so puzzled by many of the details of these things. But Father, we just pray that we will live in dependence upon Jesus day by day so that we can live to be the kind of people who know what love is and know where that love can be found, and to know where that love can come from to fill us so that we can show that love to the love of Christ. Hear our prayers for Jesus' sake.